Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. Here it is once more again, Inspirational Wednesday, hosted by myself, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It is always a pleasure and an honor to be with you on Wednesday night. And I thank God for the opportunity, as well as each and every one of you taking time from your busy schedule to come and join us as we fellowship and explore the Word of God together. As always, I let you know that this is not Diane Bible study. It is all of our Bible study, and you have the opportunity to participate in any way that you see fit. You could say words of encouragement. You might have a testimony. You might need to be prayed. You might want to pray or have someone that's in need of prayer. Any one of these things, take the opportunity. Never let an opportunity pass to say something about God. First of all, I always have to thank God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Ghost, which is the Holy Trinity that has allowed us to have this forum, to come together and to be together on Wednesday night. Oh, I'm so happy, and I thank God for each and every one of you. You know, it's amazing how God sets things up for his people. I like to believe that we are living in a time of no excuses. You know, people can find, I ain't gonna say people, I say we, including me, can find an excuse for anything under the sun, why we don't do or why we want to do and can't do or just don't do the things that we need to do in this life. But I want you to know that God is faithful, and he's right there for us. At this time, as always, I want you to know that the lesson tonight is going to be what happens when we take our eyes off of Jesus. And the scripture is going to come from the book of Matthew, the 14th verse, verses 22 through 33. Matthew 22 through 33. It's a familiar passage, but God wants to reveal something to you on tonight. You know, I've read it a million times, and yet, you know, I have a new and a wonderful, wonderful understanding. I pray that God's word don't return void and that the Holy Ghost prick your understanding and give you new revelation and information that will be illuminated, you know, because that's the Holy Ghost's job. And just follow through. Open up your heart, be prayerful, follow it in your Bible if you have one. If not, write down the scriptures so you could go back to it. And I guarantee that God's word won't return void, because it's not no accident that he decided to allow you to be here tonight. So take everything you can from it. Use everything that he's going to give you on tonight so that your way in your life will be easier. And at this time, if anyone would like to pray, you can open up the lesson with a prayer. All you have to do is press the one button on your phone. At the end of the lesson, everybody will have an opportunity to address any things about the lesson, add something to the lesson, because, you know, I don't know everything, and it would be good, you know, I give the information, the Holy Ghost give the revelation, and you can add too with some information, because the Word of God means a lot of things to a lot of people, and sometime you hear it, you can have another twist that you could bring to us and help the brethren in our Bible study time. Again, if anybody would like to pray, you can press the one button on your phone. If not, I'll go into prayer. After prayer, I'm going to play a song, and that song is Encourage Yourself, because I want to let you know, no matter what state you're in right now, I don't know what you may be going through, but God does. And sometimes we are looking for a word. We go here, we go there. We read the Bible to try to receive something. We listen to gospel music that has a message in a song. We do all of those things to build ourselves up. But the word of God tells us sometime we just have to encourage ourselves in the Lord, in the word. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then I'll put the song on, and once the song is, we'll get right into the lesson. So since no one has pressed the one button, we're going to go to God's throne of grace at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, the lover of our souls. Dear Heavenly Father, we take this time to come to your throne of grace because we need to, dear God, to just simply say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for what you have done in our lives, what you're doing right now, and what you have promised to do. Lord, we can't make it without you, and because of you, we can become your intended purpose for our lives, for your will and your design to make us whole and to make us perfect. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's listening by phone and those who may be tuning to the internet. Lord, I pray that all of their needs will be met. Bless their homes, dear God. Bless their jobs. Let them have favor in walking in this life, dear God, that you can grant through other people in their lives. Lord, we need you, and we can't make it without you, and we do all kind of things through the day, dear God, but we realize that only what we do for Christ is going to last. Heavenly Father, guide us and protect us into all righteousness and truth, and we will be ever so careful to give your name the praise, the honor, and the glory, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen, and thank God. And at this time, I'm going to put the song on, and after that, we're going to go and explore the word of God together. Thank you. That was encourage yourself. I pray that at the end of this lesson tonight that you would be encouraged. And we all have to learn how to encourage ourselves. Because you know the world we live in ain't trying to love nobody. People is only concerned about themselves, and everybody is doing what's right seeming in their own eyes and become lovers of the things they want to do. But through it all, God is in control. Jesus is sitting at his right hand interceding in our behalf, and the Holy Ghost is living in us. Learn to cooperate with the Holy Ghost where he may lead and guide you into all righteousness and truth. And again, our lesson tonight is what happens when you take your eyes off of Jesus. You know, every week before we start the lesson, I always give a introduction about a character, place, people, places, or things. And tonight, since Peter is one of the characters in the scripture, we're going to give a little background on Peter. I want you to know that Simon Peter was the first follower of Jesus Christ. He was an outspoken disciple, one of Jesus' closest friends, an apostle, and a pillar of the church. Peter was enthusiastic, strong-willed, very impulsive, and at times self-assertive. But for all of his strengths, Peter had several failings in his life. Still, the Lord who chose him continued to mold him into exactly who he intended for Peter to be. If God chooses you, he molds you into his intended purpose, God's will and the design for your life. You see, everything in the Bible is for us to have an example. God said, if I did it for Peter, I'll do it for you. You know, sometimes you going through life and you may have goodness, you know, in favor, you know, shown on you, and you say, why? And we walk around daily with the feelings of unworthiness. I want you to know if you feel like that, that's a normal feeling, because how could we get to a point to feel worthy of what God has done for us as much as he did and even given his son? You see, plenty of people may not know, but Peter was married. And if you want to see, check it out, it's in 1 Corinthians 9 and 5. And it was he and James and John, you see, they was partners in a fishing business. You see, Simon, as he was called, before Jesus changed his name, he met Jesus through his brother Andrew. And upon meeting Simon, Jesus gave him a new name, which is Peter, which means rock. Later, Jesus officially called Peter to follow him, producing a miracle of the catching of the fish. You know, the story is told they couldn't catch any fish that day, and Jesus told them to throw their nets back, and they say, no, it wouldn't make sense, and they obeyed, and you know, when the scriptures say they would give you a blessing, that you won't have room enough to receive it. You know, when they did what Jesus said through the nets, the fish got in, and it was more fish than the net, and they could hardly contain it. And how good God is, with that weight of fish in their nets, it would usually bust, but God held it together. You see, when God calls you, he gives you evidence of what he can do. He don't just leave you stuck out and wondering. Look over your life and see what God has done for you. That's how you know that he is real. You see, immediately, Peter left everything behind to follow the Lord. You see, for the next 3 years, Peter lived as a disciple of the Lord, being a natural-born leader. You see, God already knows what you have in you. So when he put you in a position, he knows what you already have, and he's seen what you done already exhibit, even if it wasn't for the right reason. It's in you. Peter became a spokesman for the 12. In several instances, Peter showed himself to be impulsive to the point of harshness. For example, it was Peter who left the boat to walk on the water to Jesus and promptly took his eyes off of Jesus and began to sink. It was Peter who took Jesus aside to rebuke him for speaking of his debt and was swiftly corrected by the Lord. You know, when the God Jesus was teaching the disciples that he was going to leave, they, of course, couldn't comprehend it. They didn't understand it, and they didn't want to have it. So Peter, you know, took him on the side to rebuke him. Read the scripture and you'll see it. But Jesus kindly, you know, got him straight, you know. He corrected him. You see, it was that same Peter who suggested erecting three tabernacles to honor Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. That was in a transformation, you know, because Peter thought he was doing something good and said, I'm going to erect three tabernacles here, and I'm going to honor Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. But what he didn't understand, he couldn't put Jesus, Moses, and Elijah in the same category. Because Jesus stands alone in a category that no one can compare and be a part of it, because he stands by himself. You see, and when Jesus told him about it, he fell on the ground and filled for silence. And he saw God's glory and knew there was no comparison. You see, it was Peter who drew his sword and attacked the servant of the high priest by cutting off his ear. You see, when they came to arrest Jesus, Peter didn't want to have nothing to do with that. And Peter couldn't believe, you know, he was standing up and fighting for what he thought was right. He cut the man's ear off. And immediately Jesus picked it up and put the man's ear back on and told Peter to put his weapon down. Peter was something, huh? It was Peter who boasted that he would never forsake the Lord, even if everyone else did. But later, that same Peter denied him, not one time, not two times, but three times, that he even knew the Lord. When the going got tough and the road got rough, you know, he denied him. Peter had said at the Last Supper, and this was right after that, you know, Jesus said that someone would deny me and someone, you know, would do this. And Peter said, who it is, I know it's not me, because I'll die for you. But, you know, you'll never know your character until you're under pressure. When the pressure came, he said, no, not once, not twice, but three times. But even after his denial of Jesus, Jesus still used him. Now, that's a point we have to stop for a little while and think about it. Come on now. But even after his denial of Jesus, Jesus still used him. So if there's any of you out there, you know, not understanding how you believe God is directing you to do something and you don't feel, of course, you worthy, you don't feel you good enough, you don't feel this and that. You see, the Bible teaches us, and with this lesson, God is showing us that even denial of Jesus, Jesus still using. Through all of Peter, ups and downs, the Lord remained his loving Lord and faithful God. There is nothing that we can do that can separate us from the love of God. That's in the book of Romans in the 28th chapter. You got to believe it. You see, Jesus reaffirmed Simon as Peter. Now, look how they say this. When you're reading the Bible and a person had a name and then Jesus changed their name. Let's just say he changed it in the first chapter. And then you get around to the 30th chapter and Jesus, the Bible states their old name. Usually that happens because they're doing their old things. Come on now. You see, right here, they say Jesus affirmed Simon as Peter, the rock, and stated that upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, after his resurrection, Jesus specifically named Peter as the one to hear the good news. And repeating the miracle of the large catch of fish, that was after he resurrected, he was letting them know that he was now the living Christ. Jesus made a special point of forgiving and restoring Peter, and he recommissioned him as an apostle. You see, Peter was a fisherman from Galilee. But Jesus called him to be a fisherman of men because Peter was willing to leave all that he had to follow Christ. God used him in a great way. As Peter preached, people was amazed at his boldness because he was unschooled. Come on now. You might think you don't have enough education. Peter was unschooled, and he was ordinary. You might think you have to be a rock star, but God uses who he wants, why he wants, when he wants. As Peter preached, people was amazed at his boldness because he was unschooled. You see, the people knew he was unschooled, and they looked up on him as ordinary, a little fisherman. But you see, God used him in a great way. But then they took note that Peter had been with Jesus. And the message that I'm trying to get across by talking about Peter, letting him know, letting you know the things, how God used him. Remember, the characters in the Bible is an example. What he did for one, he'll do for you. And how he did for them, he can do for you. But I want to let you know, being with Christ make all of the difference. And right now, we're going to go ahead into the scripture. And we at Matthew 14, 22, and we're going to go through 33. And the scriptures reads as follows. And straightway, Jesus contained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him on the other side. While he sent the multitude away, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went into the mountain apart from them to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Okay, what are you saying, Diane? You see, Jesus was teaching, preaching, and doing miracles at that time. Remember, Jesus didn't come into his ministry or take on his ministry full blast until he was 30 and after he had been baptized. And if you remember, Jesus died at the age of 33. So when Jesus started out and got his disciples and started teaching and letting us know these things, Jesus was doing everything because he knew his time was short. He chose his disciples that they could continue on with the gospel after he was gone. So Jesus was constantly teaching and showing the disciples who he really was so that they could have the confidence when they bring the gospel to others. You see, Jesus had just fed 5,000 men, and the number did not include women and children. Therefore, the total number of people Jesus fed could have been 10 to 15,000. You see, the number of men is listed separately because the Jewish culture of that day, men and women usually ate separately. But in public, when in public, and the children ate with the women. Don't we thank God for now women and men can eat together? That we live in a culture where men and women, you know, I ain't going to say could be equal, but they could walk hand in hand and side by side. You see, after this miraculous miracle, he instructed his disciples to get in a ship and go on the other side before him and sent the multitude away. Sent all the people away, sent the disciples in a ship, told them to go on the other side. Why? Because Jesus was now seeking solitude. You see, seeking solitude was very, very important. It was a very important priority to Jesus. He wanted solitude and time with the Father to pray. You see, even though he was God in the flesh, his relationship still had him needing the Father while he was on earth. And he made room in his busy schedule to be along with the Father. So he went in the mountains to pray. You see, even Jesus, the Son of God, needed time alone with the Father. So you take that and you ask yourself, what about us? And you see, if we go to the 24th verse, it said, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea. The ship that he had sent them off. Jesus was in the mountain praying. They was on the water. The people was gone. They was in the water, and they was in the midst of the sea, and they were being tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. You see, why it was contrary, if you really know, the lake itself was 700 feet below the Mediterranean Sea. One or more noteworthy aspects that this body of water is great. And it was because that they had sudden and extremely violent storms. That was noted for this body of water. Follow what I'm saying? They knew at any time a storm could brew up and have high winds, but they had to go on the other side, and that was the only way they could get there by the boat. Jesus wasn't with them because he was praying to the Father, and they had gone on in the sea. The sea got violent. These storms are caused by cold, rushing water and air from the mountain surrounding it. And when the air, the warm air, and the cold air get together, it makes high winds and the waves. You see, Jesus had a master plan, and we keep reading. We're going to see how it unfolds. You see, if we go to the 25th verse, and in the fourth watch of night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. This is when Jesus walked on the water. They was in the boat. They was rowing and they was exhausted, and the wind was taking them and doing what they wanted with them. So, of course, they was fearful. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were troubled, saying, this is the scripture, y'all, the 26th. It is a spirit. And they cried out of fear. I'm going to read the 25th and 6th again for you, and we'll go into a little explanation. They say, in the fourth watch of night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea, walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him in the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out of fear. And you see, if they say when he came in the fourth watch, that was like between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So this was the time of the morning, really, you know, that it was. And they saw him walk, and they was fearful. You see, Matthew is the writer of this scriptures, and he tell us that when the disciples saw Jesus walking on a lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because all they saw him, all that saw him, they were scared. But you see here, Jesus decided to walk on the water. All of their hope was gone. The wind had taken them off, of course. There was nothing humanly that they could do at that time. And it's amazing. Jesus began to walk towards them. But isn't it amazing that Jesus always comes to us in the storms of our life? Take this example. Hold on to it and realize it. You know, when God is showing something, he's giving us metaphors and analogies so that we could understand who he is, what he does, and how he do it. You see, this is reminiscent of the word of God. Because you see, now watch this. God said to Isaiah, remember, Isaiah was in the Old Testament. Of course, Jesus walking on the water is the New Testament, and I'm going to give you one for this time so we could see God and how he said and how he promised and how he did. You see, God told Isaiah, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, I will not sweep over you. That's Isaiah 43:2. And then in the New Testament, Jesus is walking on water and delivering them in a time of a storm. And we have some examples in our lives, especially the people who live in New Orleans, because for us today, the waters of Katrina, he might say, will not take you out. You know, he showed us, you know, they have a lot of people told a story that they was on a little box, you know, going in the high waters and how God delivered them. God said, I got you. He had them in Isaiah time. He had them in the New Testament time of Peter and the disciples. And he's telling you, I got you right now. You got to believe it and you got to trust it. Because what God did for them, he would also do for you. You see, the Lord, you got to always remember, the Lord may not come at the time you think that he should. But he knows when we need him the most, and he will always be on time. Come on now. God is working out a plan for your life. And because you can't understand it all, you can't comprehend it all, you will never understand it all, you have to just trust him. You see, God may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. And why? Because the scripture in Romans 8:28 says, God is working it all out together for your good. But that means in his time, for his purpose, for his glory, for his will. You got to put all that in with it. And you just trust him, and he's going to work it out. You see, this is what Jesus did. Jesus waited until the boat was as far from the land as possible, when all they hoped was gone. You see, in essence, Jesus was testing the disciples' faith. You know how we say that trials and tribulations are only made to mature us and to develop us and to help us with our faith? Jesus was testing the disciples' faith. And this meant that he had to remove all human props, because if there was any way that they could see anything, it would no longer be faith. You see, if they could see the rescue boat coming to rescue them, then you see there would be no need for faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If you could see it, you don't need faith. But for those things you can't see, you put your faith into action and you trust God. You see, and you say, why did Jesus walk on the water? He walked on the water to show his disciples that the very thing they feared, the raging sea, was merely a set of steps for him to come to them. You know, no matter what you're going through in your life right now, you know, God is a God of nearness. God said, I am near you. God said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. You have to realize that God is right there. He's right there. He's just a touch away. He's just a prayer away. He's just a cry away. He's just a brokenhearted away. God is right there. Even though that was all happened, he showed them that he was just a set of steps for him to come to them. Often we feel the difficult experiences in our lives, such as illness, loss of loved ones, the financial hardship, only to discover that these experiences can bring Jesus closest to us. And you know, if you ever were sick and God brought you through, you see, now you know that he's a healer. So you see, when you articulate your faith and you're expressing that to somebody, you know for yourself. You see, when Jesus was doing all of this, he allowed the disciples to find out about him for themselves. God is doing you with that hardship when you didn't know how the next bill was going to be paid, and some kind of way it got paid. You see, you said, I know who my maker is. You know, for the love of your lost one, when you can't seem to get a grip on yourself because you're grieving, and you hear a little quiet voice say, I'm a mother and a father to the fatherless. And even though you lost your loved one, if they say, if I got them and I'm watching over you, you know, come on now, y'all. God is doing all this to let us know who he is and what he's working with. God is ever near because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But sometimes we look at these stories in the New Testament and the Old Testament. Jesus delivered the sick, healed the lame, made the ones who couldn't, the deaf talk and the dumb to hear. He did all of these things, and yet they crucified him. You know, and we would maybe say within ourselves, you know, if I was living back then and I saw all that Jesus did, that I would truly serve him. I would give up everything and follow him. I would be obedient to all that he asked me. But you know, in our lives, we see the miracles. We see his goodness. We see his mercy. And we've been afforded the privilege to know that he gave his only begotten son for us, because he gave us the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And yet, just as they, sometimes it's hard for us to be totally obedient. Sometimes it's hard for us to just do what we know is right all the time. But we might ask the question, why they did not recognize Jesus as he was walking to them? The answer is that they were not looking for him. Come on now. How many times the Holy Ghost speak to us? And plenty of times people say something told, you know, after the event or whatever, you know, the tragedy happened, they might say something told me not to go that way. Or something told me I should have did A and B instead of doing C and D. But, you know, that's the Holy Ghost. So we have to learn how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost in our lives that we could have more success. You see, at that time, they didn't recognize Jesus because they wasn't looking for him. You know, the Bible teaches us that in every aspect of our life that we should bring all things to Christ through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know, not some things. There's nothing too big. There's nothing too little. And our time with Christ in prayer is being intimate because of the relationship we have with him. And he wants us. He wants to hear from us. And he wants to know. But, you know, sometimes we look to man. Sometimes we might look to our boss. You know, women look to men and men look to women. You look at all of these things when something is going on. And just like the disciples in the boat, they didn't recognize him because they wasn't looking for him. You see, had they been waiting in faith, so what the scripture is telling us that we should do, we should wait in faith for every issue of our lives. You know, had they been willing and waiting in faith, they would have known him instantly. Instead, they jumped to a false conclusion that his appearance was a ghost. How many times we jump to false conclusions with things going in our life? How many times we pick the wrong answer and go with it? The point is this. Fear and faith cannot live in the same heart. For fear frequently blinds the eyes to the presence of the Lord. And fear is usually, and what it usually does, it produces the evidence of something that appeared to be real. Okay, what are you saying, Diane? What I'm saying is that sometimes we get all out of whack. We get all excited. We get overwhelmed. We start to cry. We lose the faith. All that make you lose the faith. And then when we finally get the outcome, it wasn't all that we thought it was, but we done went through them emotions. We done laid our faith down. That's why I say fear sometimes is the evidence of something that appeared to be real. You see, it's amazing that all that God has done, all that he's doing, and all that he has promised in his word to do for us, at times we don't seem that it is enough. And we can't hold on to our faith. You see, we're going to go in the 28th verse right now. And it says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto the water. You see, what Peter said is, Lord, after they kind of realized it, I guess Jesus had got all in, you know, closer and they could see better. You know, or God told him, hey, it's me. Peter said, Lord, let me come out with you. And he said, and Jesus said, the scripture, I'm reading scripture, y'all. It just seemed like, you know, and I'm going to start all over, 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And 30 says, but when he saw the wind raging, he was afraid, and he began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And verse 31 says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And 32 said, and when they had come into the ship, the wind ceased. Okay, the wind got rough. Peter walked on the water. Peter figured Jesus was there, and Jesus was on the water. he was using faith. He said, Lord, let me come. Remember, Peter was aggressive. You know, Peter was bold. He said, Lord, you're doing it. Let me do it. Peter, get on the water. He walking. God told him, come on. Jesus said, come on. Remember, Jesus was teaching his disciples. Come on now, y'all. Look at that part. Remember that as we read. And he told him, come on. Peter got on the water. You see, Peter was really not putting Jesus to a test, something we are told not to do. Instead, he was the only one in the boat to react in faith. Some things in life that we are hoping for and have not received is maybe because we never asked in faith. You see, his impulsive request led him to experience a rather unusual demonstration of God's power. Get him request to God and just watch his power. Give it all to Christ, y'all, please, and watch his power. All things bring it to him and leave it at the altar and watch his power. You see, Peter started to sink because he took his eyes off of Jesus and focused on the high wind and waves around him. His faith wavered when he realized what he was doing. You see, we may never walk on water, but we will walk through tough situations. We will walk through trials. We will walk through tribulation, adversities. We're going to have setbacks and failures. But if you keep your eyes on Christ, which is the author and the finisher of our faith, I just want to let you know you will not sink. If we focus on the waves of difficult circumstances around us, looking to Jesus without looking to Jesus for help, we'll sink. And you got to remember, when God allows a lot of things to happen in our lives, and I always have to focus it back to Job, all that was happening in Job's life, and Job didn't fully understand it, but God had allowed all these things to happen to Job. But when it turned out and you got to the end of the lesson, you realized that it was only a test. God uses these adversities, circumstances, setbacks to mature us, to test us, to know what else he could put in our hand. You see, to maintain your faith when situations are difficult, you must keep your eye on Jesus' power and his faithfulness rather than our own inadequacies. Try it. You see, and 33 said, then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And you see, Jesus had a plan, a master plan, when he even told him to go over there, when he decided to pray. All of this is a plan before the foundation of the world. You see, God had a master plan for Jesus to come and for him to get the disciples. It was a master plan, and as we read the word of God, we only see that it is unfolding. You see, and they came and they worshiped him, and they say, thou art the Son of God. You see, in reading this scripture, we see three miracles. First, Jesus walked on the water. Second, Peter temporarily does so. And third, the wind ceased immediately. This lesson had three miracles. You see, Jesus didn't want them to have faith without evidence. We have the faith of God. We have the faith. But y'all got to realize that God supplied the evidence. Remember, God is all-knowing. He knew the winds wouldn't behave. And he allowed them to get stuck out, and he allowed all their hopes to be gone. Then he showed them his power by walking on the water. Then he showed them that he was in total control of everything that he had created, even the wind. And when he got on the boat, the wind ceased, letting them know that his grace is fully sufficient. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus had supplied the evidence for them to have faith. God don't ask you to have faith without evidence. God has done things in your life, delivered you, carried you, kept you safe, gave you what you didn't deserve, kept your children, answered your prayers. You see, all that's the evidence, and that's the reason to have faith. Look around. See all that God has done, is doing, and promised to do through your life. Then do as the disciples did. They worshiped him. Are you worshiping God? Because he's the giver of the faith. Faith is a gift in the first place. They worship him. You see, God uses everything in his creation to teach us that we will truly know who he is, what he is working with, and all that he has promised to us so that we could trust and believe the evidence. There's evidence all through the Bible. You read the Bible to get your evidence. You read the Bible to get example. You read the Bible to see how God did it for them, and then you can trust that he can do it for you. If you don't read the Bible, that's on you. You read the Bible to see all of the promises of God. You read the Bible to get a word in you that the Holy Ghost can take it and illuminate it and revelate it. You read the word of God so late in the midnight hour, just as the disciples in the ship and all of the hope is gone, you can call upon the name of Jesus, because there's no other name besides the name of Jesus. You see, Jesus used his time to teach the disciples. Jesus knew his time was short. And he wanted to equip the disciples to be able to preach and teach the gospel with full confidence. So as I close tonight, people often ask me how they can increase their faith for a good reason. Some that they can meet the challenges of God's demand on their life. You know, they believe that they don't have enough faith and they need it increasing. What's the method of increasing his faith? But you see, Jesus wants you to know that it is not the quantity, hallelujah, of your faith, but the quality of your faith. You do not need an increase of faith that you can bring some reward following its use. More faith you do more, and then you can get a reward. See, you don't need to increase the faith that you may bring some reward following its use, or do a bigger and the best thing that you may think you need to do for God. But a faith that although is as small as a mustard seed, and take that faith as the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of not seen, evidence of things not seen. Always trusting God no matter what state you're in. You see, that's the amount of faith you need. Because when you trust him in all, there is no more. That same faith you've got is enough to trust him in all. And he said, if it's the size of a mustard seed, come on now. You see, the disciples had gained a living faith and was confident by the evidence that God truly exists. They became conscious at that time of Christ's intimate relationship with God. And they understand then that God was his father. After these things had happened, they confessed, saying, and it's in the scripture in the 33, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. If they spoke with their mouth and confessed that he was the Son of God, they recognized God as his father. When they confessed these words, they knew for themselves. What word are you confessing that you can confess with your whole heart and then you can rely on them as the truth and knowing for yourself? Search yourself. There's so much in you. God is teaching us so that we will know him for ourselves. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open. And if you ask, it shall be given unto you. And that's our lesson for tonight, y'all. I pray that God's word won't return void. And as always at this time, if anyone would like to add to it, give us some insight. Give us, just say hello, you know. You can do so at this time. All I need you to do is press the one button on your phone. And if you are listening through the internet, you can dial the number on the screen and you can call that number. And once you do, you press the one button on your phone and I'll be able to open a mic from the studio, and I can take your call. We have so many callers that have called in tonight, and again, I'm grateful for each and every one of you. There's a number on here that, well, there's several numbers that I don't know, but there's a number, and the reason I'm talking about this number because they called so early, and they waited patiently to explore the word together with us tonight. And that calling number is, I'm not going to say all of your numbers, but I'm going to say 5 digits of your number. I'm going to leave the last two out. And that caller number was 504-237-60. And to that call, I just want to say thank you. I saw how early you came in and you waited patiently for the lesson to come forth. I see a lot of callers, and a lot of them I know, and some other numbers I don't know. And if this is your first time calling, if you would oblige us, because this is our Bible study and through conversation, and when certain times when people talk, that's how other people get to kind of know you. You know, we are part of the body of Christ, and this is just one of our ways to have fellowship. So if you know, this is your first time, are you a new caller, if you want to just call in and say your name or just, you know, say something, you can just press the one button on your phone. We have a lot of callers tonight, and I just say glory be unto God for all that he is doing. Right now it's 9:24, and always I like to end the class at 9:30, so we have 6 minutes because 9:30 would be 1 hour. I just want to thank each and every one of you. You know, I hope that you understood with the lesson. It seemed like a basic lesson, but when you really get into the Word of God and put precept upon precept, one thing when you read the Word of God, you have to see what God's intent was, who he was writing to or who he was dealing with, and you have to ask why so it could come to life to you. You know, plenty of people always say, yeah, Paul, Peter walked on water. But do you know what God was doing? He was teaching them because he knew his time was going to be short. He wanted them to know what they knew for themselves, and he was giving them evidence. So when they say, you know, I know who God is, you know, are you bold in saying I know what I know? No, I don't know everything. You don't know everything. But what you know, you should know. And you shouldn't speak of things that someone just told you, or you speak of things where you done heard it passing in the wind, because there's so many people, so many times, try to repeat what their grandmother and them said, and if your grandmother and them had it wrong, then guess what? Then you got it wrong. But you have to know God. See, so many people know of God, but so many people who think that they have a relationship with God, they really don't. Because, you know, God would have to say, and the thing that would happen, God will say, what have you done for me lately? When did you take time with me? Just as Jesus, and he was the Son of God, he took time and went in the mountain. He dismissed everybody so he could have time with God. You know, do you do that? If Jesus had to do it, what you think about you? So many people know of God, but they don't know God. They really don't. They don't know the attributes of God. You know, they, you know, like the story tonight, how God worked with the disciples and why. And what God will do for them, he'll do for you. But that's why it's important. You see, 2 Timothy 2:15 say, study the word. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. You see, you know, the Bible is saying, study for yourself. You know, plenty of times people, you know, tell me, you know, I went to church Sunday, but I didn't get nothing out of it. And I have to ask them, what did you bring to it? You know, you went to church, you didn't get anything. And you see, you know, you cannot put God in a box. God is so awesome that if you go with the right reason and the right intent, with clean hands and a pure heart and prayerfully, even though nothing may be said that makes sense to nobody else, it will make sense to you. That's why you can go into a church service and the preacher preach one sermon and 15 people, if they ask the question, they would say that they got something else out of it. God is not going to let his word return void, and God is going to have something for you if you go there the right way to receive it. And then, of course, there's are those who don't figure you have to go to church. We all know that church will not save you. But just as this lesson tonight, Peter, God told Peter, upon this rock I build my church. God, Jesus established the church, and he did it with one of the characters, Peter. If it wouldn't be important for us to go to church, no, it don't save you. But God said that's our fellowship because we are one body. And that's where we get our fellowship. When you see winos on the street and they're all under the shaded tree, they get together because they are like mine and they're fellowshipping one another. You know, if you go down so far the other way, you might run into a crack house and everybody's in there. They fellowshipping with one another because they have like minds and they have the same, you know, things they're looking for. When you go to the church, you know, you're going to have fellowship with other believers. Is everybody right? No. And if the church was perfect and the preacher was perfect, don't tell me. Because when I get to that church, it wouldn't be perfect anymore. We shouldn't be looking for a man to be perfect or the church organization to be perfect because we are the church. And that's the church building, and that's where we assemble for fellowship and worship with God. So God ordained the church. God, Jesus created the church in the book of Acts. So, you know, we can make excuses and we could say it any kind of way we want, and it could really sound good to us. But remember, God ordained the church. And if he took time to ordain the church, it had a purpose. And it have a purpose. You go to one church, it don't agree with you, find another one. If God could use a donkey to talk to a man and that donkey didn't have a soul, God could use a man that's not already all perfect to bring a message. It's not about the man. It's about the message that the man deliver. You keep that in mind. And God is faithful. And at this time, if no one else want to pray, it's now 9:30, I can go ahead and do the closing prayer. And then, you know, sometime after the prayer and the closing benediction, a lot of people love to hear, you know, the songs, and they get message in the music, and they like to hear the gospel music. And I will put the gospel music on once the prayer go forth. And if someone decides, while the music is going, they would like to speak, I will open the mic and you can speak at that time. So right now it's time. It's the end of our time for the lesson today. And I just want to say, Lord, I enter your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. Lord, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the word that you allow the Holy Ghost to put in my spirit, to speak through my mouth, that your people may be edified and you will be glorified. Lord, I know and I recognize daily that it's not about me. It's not about the messenger. It's only about the message, should any man boast. Lord, I decrease each time I come before you and pray that you increase. Lord, each and every person that got the word of God and however they perceived it, let your word not return void. Holy Spirit, I ask that you protect them and find favor in their lives as this new week come in. This week go out and a new week come in. And if it's your will, dear God, that we will meet again on Wednesday. Heavenly Father, touch every home that's represented here. Touch the health and the finances, dear God, for the people that are here. Heavenly Father, let them know who you are for themselves. Because, you know, you gave us a commission, dear God, that all of us should spread the gospel. Heavenly Father, some more know more than others, and some can maybe say it than others. But all through your word, you showed us. Because when you sent Moses, dear God, Moses said, I can't speak. And you gave him Aaron. Whatever God ordained and put in your hand for you to do, he will make the provisions. Hallelujah. Touch, dear God. Bless, dear God. allow favor, dear God. All of this in Jesus' name and for all of our sakes. Amen and thank God. Well, that's the lesson for the night and the benediction prayers going forward. If anyone would like to say anything right now before I put the music on, you can press the one button and I'll open the mic. There's a lot of callers that I can recognize and so many I can't. But I thank each and every one of you that you took time from your busy schedule to come and hear the word of God tonight. If there's someone that you know that's bedridden in a wheelchair and they can't get out to church and can't have Bible study, share this with them so that they could get the word on Wednesday night. I have a caller, I'm opening a line. The caller number is 504-248-21. You may speak at this time.
Good evening, Minister Adams. This is Sister Peterson. I am glad
Sister who, baby?
Hello.
Who is this?
This is Sister Richardson.
Praise God.
And I enjoyed the lesson. I stayed up just so I could be a part of it. And it has lifted my spirit. And I thank God for you. And you have a day.
I thank you so much, Sister Richardson. Sister Richardson is my leader at church. We teach new members at my church, Greater Liberty. I don't think I ever say my church name on a radio station, but I go to Greater Liberty Baptist Church under the pastoralship of Dr. Calvin Woods, and our church is located in New Orleans on Desire Street, and we have new members classes, and Sister Richardson is over the new members, and I'm her assistant. So I thank God for allowing her to come with us, even though we have study each Sunday morning and we fellowship together, but it's a pleasure to have you on Wednesday night. And I thank you, and I pray that God be with you until we meet again. Thank you, Sister Yvonne.
And God bless you.
If there's anyone else who'd like to say something right now before I start playing the music, you can press the one button. If not, we have another caller would like to say something. 504-729. You may speak now. Your mic open. That's Miss Rian. You can speak now.
Good evening, everybody. I just want to say praise God and good evening to everybody. And I want to definitely thank you for taking the time out to get on the phone with us weekly and dissect God's word. To where we can understand it. There's something that we can take and apply to our lives. And I just thank God for allowing the Holy Spirit to use you the way that he does. The way you deliver the message is very easy for us to, well, it's very easy for me to take it and apply it to my life and understand it. And so many things just come to light. So that's where you talk about the Holy Spirit illuminating and making revelation to the things, to God's word. So I'm grateful. I'm really grateful that you're dedicated and you're obedient. I know I see you on every Monday when I come to Bible study on Monday nights as well, and I'm just grateful for the time that you take, the dedication that you put forth to teaching. And I'm also grateful that, you know, you teach us, that we're being taught so that we may teach. And so I think that's starting to come to light in all of our lives, that you share God's words with either on a Monday night or a Wednesday night. So I just want to thank God for you.
Thank you so much, darling. And this caller, Rian, is we come together on Monday night for Monday night Bible study, and we meet every Monday night, and we have been doing it. Rian has been doing it. We've been doing it over a year. Way over a year, and we have some people that we've been together for 6 years. You see, you got to realize that God is putting his people together. The time, we know we all living in the last days, so we have to decide where we're going to spend our time, our energy, and our money, and where we're going to have our focus. And we should come together as a body of Christ and explore the word of God. God took time to inspire the Bible, and the Bible is 66 books. so many chapters and so many verses. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for us, and we should take the time to do it. And I'm so thankful for you, Rian, and I thank God for seeing you on Monday nights and the fellowship that we have. And that's why I tell you, this is not my Bible study on Wednesday. It is ours. We should fellowship together. We should talk to one another. We should, by now, we could have, everybody could know who everybody else is on the line. And when someone else new come on, we could greet them and just know, you know. But, you know, what it is, it is. And to God be the glory. And thank you so much, caller, for calling in, because it's words of encouragement to me. And I evidently needed it, and God supplied it, and he used you, callers. And right now I have another caller, and the number is 504-237-60. Your mic is open, and you can speak now.
I just want to say I enjoyed the service. I really got word. Got courage out of it. I really thank you, Ms. Diane, for all the words that you gave me. And I will be listening from this day on. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I think that's Sandra, that's you?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So this is And thank you for calling in, and I pray that you come back. We're here every Wednesday at the same time, 8:30. And I thank you so much for calling in, and I pray that you have received something that you can use. And God be with you and protect you always, and especially until we meet again on next Wednesday. Is there any other callers would like to say something? I thank each and every caller that decided to say something. You know, sometimes, you know, I've been doing this on this station since well over a year, and, you know, every Wednesday I talk, and, you know, I sometimes wonder, you know, is it doing any good? You know, I get a lot of comments sometimes, but, you know, you have to wonder, you know, should I do it another way, or should I add this, or should I take this out? And I won't know unless you guys let me know. So until then, I do what I believe God wants me to do. But I am thankful, and I pray to God that God be with each and every one of you until we meet next week. I love you, and please, I pray for you guys all the time, and I'm just asking that you guys pray for me so that we could touch and agree together, because God find favor in that. God say, when two or more are gathered in my name, I'll be in the midst. And he say, how can you touch and agree unless everybody agree? So I need you guys to agree with me with the word that God has given, so that God can get glory from it. So as I close, but I'm going to put the music on, you guys pray for me as I always pray for you. And God loves you, and so do I. And I just thank you guys so much for being with me on Wednesday. And I pray that the word of God will never return void, in Jesus' name. So right now, I'm going to put the music on, and everybody can listen. Decide you want to talk, you can press the 1, and I can still pick you up. Thank you.
Some days it seems like it'd be easier to just let go.
I know you're praying for a change, to see a sunny day. Nothing good has come your way for so long. You need someone to understand the place your heart is in. You just want to dream again and believe.
Yeah.
To live for.
Remember what you pray for.
Yes.
Don't give up.
Please don't let go.
right now. Come on, Monica.
You guys will just go away. Know that God can feel your pain. Believe you'll never fall short of His word. Sometimes we forget that He holds us in His hand. But I'm reminding you, don't give up.
Yeah.
Sometimes your skies may seem dark and gray.
We all have days like that.
Just know your breakthrough's not far away.
Listen,
you just hold on.
I'm speaking from experience.
Hey,
I was there.
Say I, yes,
are coming to pass.
Whoa, whoa.